You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to Stage Door Podcast, the podcast celebrating theatre and creativity from onstage mishaps to career-defining moments.
Hosted by Thespians, myself, Tori, and co-host Eliza. Fortnightly, we will bring you industry professional guests, deep dives, and more.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Stage Door Podcast. Unfortunately, Tori won't be able to join us for this episode, but not to worry, we are still going to have plenty of fun. Before we get started, I would like to acknowledge that I am on Turrbal land, the traditional custodians of the land on which we work, live, and record, and we recognise that sovereignty was never ceded. Today we are here to talk all about the brand new musical, The Dismissal, with Brittany Shipway. As a performer, Brittany has made her mark at the Sydney Opera House as Hermia in Bell Shakespeare's worldwide premiere of The Lovers. She recently starred in the national tour of Rolling Thunder Vietnam with the John Farnham Band. She has also performed alongside Natalie Bassingthwaite and Paulini as the Arbiter in Chess, Kay in the national tour of The Sapphires, The Witch in Big Fish, Claire in Ordinary Days, Lauren in Kinky Boots, Mary in Jesus Christ Superstar, Fanny Bryce in Funny Girl, Bianca in Othello, and various roles in Sport for Jove's epic Rose Riot, to name a few. Brittany stars as Margaret Whitlam in the new Australian musical, which tells the epic story of Australia's most dramatic political event, the sacking of Prime Minister Gough Whitlam by the Governor-General Sir John Kerr on November 11th, 1975, as told through the eyes of the iconic larrikin Norman Gunston. The Dismissal, an extremely serious musical comedy, will be making its way onto the Seymour stage starting from the 23rd of September. Please welcome to the mic, Brittany.
Hey, cue applause. I need to update that bio.
You've added a few more things, I'm guessing.
Oh, no, I need to subtract, you know, always take away.
Take it away. Well, you've been very busy this week, I'm sure, in rehearsals for the show. How's it all going?
So we've sort of hit tech. And it's been wild. There are so many elements to this piece. And, you know, we're transported back to the 70s. So we've got a lot of costumes and the design elements are really fun and sourcing the props that are, you know, accurate of the time. Every department is all hands on deck and it looks brilliant. We had our first preview last night and the audience were frothing.
Oh, wow. You're very good to get up this early to do an interview then.
Oh, 5 minutes ago, mate. Here we are.
Yeah, perfect.
Got my homebrew kombucha ready to roll.
Yeah, I've got a Powerade to get me going, you know. You need to. So I guess you've had a massive career so far and it's only going further and further. How did you find your way into the world of theatre? What kind of sparked your passion for musical theatre?
I got into singing when I was 6 years old because my mum was 17 when she had me and she really wanted somebody like her daughter to be on Young Talent Time. that's sort of how I got into it. And I just happened to have a voice of some sort. I think I had a low, deep voice for my age. And yeah, I went to Joan Sutherland Centre and I had a singing teacher called Suzanne Towers. And the next best thing to do, I think, after a year of singing is to try and find a musical. And so I did Les Miserables or Les Mans, as I like to call it. And played Little Cosette and I just sort of fell in love with telling stories and sitting inside the shoes of another character and figuring out what makes them tick. So, yeah, I caught the bug pretty early on. Always have sung. I enjoy acting and I move when prodded.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing that you had Cosette as one of the first ones, because, I mean, Les Mis is one of the biggest musicals. So it's a lot of people's first musicals they see, and then they go, yes, this is what I want to do and I want to continue doing this.
That's how they hooked me.
So today we're obviously here to talk about The Dismissal, and we've already said a little bit about what the show entails, but can you tell our audience a little bit more about the show and what they can expect?
So The Dismissal is set in 1975. When Gough Whitlam was dismissed by the Governor General, and we follow his journey and we look at all the different perspectives that we can sort of muster in 3 hours or less than 3 hours. It is a political satire. It's supremely funny. It's through the eyes of Norman Gunston, so I don't know how it couldn't be. When I first approached this show, I had no idea who Norman Gunston was. So I've really done a deep dive into some footage, and far out, like, God, we have some funny comedians in this country. It's been real fun. Yeah, that's what the show's about, I guess. I play Margaret Whitlam, who is the Prime Minister's wife. I'm about 20 centimetres too short and 20 years too young, but a wig does wonders, and maybe yes, stilts will come out. Who knows?
Couple of lines, add a few lines to the forehead.
Oh, surely. Yeah, why not? Why not? I feel like I'm finally playing the roles I had to play 10 years ago. You know, this is what I've been built for, to play older women.
Yes.
It's really good fun. It's such an epic show, a really courageous move by the writers and producers to take a chance on writing something new and exciting. But gosh, it delivers to this appetite we have for new Australian theatre that talks about our own stories. And so I really tip my hat off to the creatives of this show.
Yeah. Does it take place during the dismissal, or is it after the kind of the re-election part as well? Does it touch on any of that, or is it mostly?
I mean, you're just going to have to come see. Oh, no.
Yeah.
The timeline is all around it. So it's a leading up to it, the dismissal itself, and a bit of the aftermath. And there might be a cheeky little flash forward in time. Who knows?
Ooh, good things coming. So I guess, like, it being a satire, what was your audition process like for this show? Because I remember seeing some of the audition videos for The Dismissal coming out, and people were, it was just phenomenal. The bold offers in the auditions were insane. So how was your audition process for this?
Oh, look, it was wild. It was a little bit different, I think, because when they were trying to figure out what this show was, they wanted to know that they could work with people who were happy to explore. It's really important with new work. You know, you're not working with material that's completely finished and polished and has been put up and tried and tested over a decade. So we had to come in and sing a song, learn a couple of Laura Murphy's incredible numbers as well. Certified bangers, everything she writes, it's ridiculous. And we also had to prepare a sort of shtick, a political shtick. We had to find a politician and pretend to be them, you know, give it a go.
Who did you choose?
Cannot remember. It would have been something as easy as possible. But they're so wonderful. When I say wonderful, there's just so many weird people in politics with weird voices and weird little tics. Oh, it's brilliant. Like, I don't know how you just pick one. And especially now that we're in the middle of the show, in rehearsals, we were told to have a look at certain characters. Wouldn't want to mention anyone specifically, but, you know, Christopher Pine. Oh my gosh, their voices are hilarious.
I'm pretty sure some of them get trained on how to politically speak in front of people as well, so that would be so interesting, because it's like, is this your real voice, is this what you're putting on?
Yeah.
It's and all the mannerisms and everything, it's kind of an actor's mind just to keep sifting through it.
Maybe I'll move into that job soon. I'll look at what the super's like, because I think they need somebody new. Yeah.
And I guess, like, you have been involved in developing the role of Margaret. How much of the real life person have you incorporated into it, and what have you brought to the role?
Well, I actually saw the dismissal at the Seymour Centre, the same venue, when it first had its little, you know, ankle reveal, little preview production a few years ago, and I saw Bashani Vincent play the role stunningly, and I remember my jaw dropping. So when I was cast in the show, I sort of pooed my pants a bit, because I just think Bashani's incredible. And so I had to ignore everything Bashani did, and luckily it was long enough ago that I can't remember all her choices, but by God, I remember her voice. And so I've just had to do my version of it, and I'm not exactly Margaret Whitlam, you know. As I said before, she was known to be a really tall woman and very physically intimidating almost, but she would always try and soften her body language to make everybody around her feel very comfortable. So she was always leaning and always softened her knees and made sure she was a step down from everybody else. Otherwise, she'd tower over everybody in the room, apart from her husband, Gough. And she was always very nervous about being tall as well. She was very self-conscious about it. Now, I'm 162 centimetres, so I can't do that. I'm a little shorty, so I actually have to do the opposite. So it's hard to physicalize a character and do it accurately when, you know, you don't look the same as them. But we've really been given permission by J. James Moody, our director, to sort of explore the essence and energy of those characters, because, you know, the device of the show is we don't look like our political or historical counterparts, but what's the energy they had that made them so charismatic? And Margaret certainly was charismatic. Every person I've spoken to that talks about Margaret just say, wow, she was such like an incredible light. You know, you felt like she was really looking through you when she talked to you, and she really listened to what you had to say. Just this incredible sense of empathy that she exuded. So, and she also had quite a firm voice. There's a really wonderful video that I found of her being interviewed in the 70s by this journalist who's just asking her the most sexist questions, like, what does your husband like to eat? And she was like, food, you know, anything that will get him through the day. What a dumb question. And I love taking that on. Like, what a pioneer, like, in the 70s to be such an incredibly strong woman. It's awesome.
And outwardly, like, clap back in a way as well to reporters, because you're supposed to seem to be, you know, the Prime Minister's wife and, you know, the ideal of what a woman is supposed to be,
yeah,
especially in that time. So it's cool to see someone powerful, like a powerful woman.
Yes, and I think it was known that she sort of backed Gough up but wasn't afraid to tell him when he, you know, misstepped or misspoke. And I think they really worked together as a team behind closed doors. And she's the only Prime Minister's wife that I know so well, not just because I'm playing her, but I knew who Margaret Whitlam was before I approached the role. And I couldn't say the same for a lot of other Prime Minister's wives in Australia. You know, they're sort of pushed to the side and they're told to be, well, I don't know if they're told to be silent, but the media don't spend a lot of time with them.
Yeah, especially, it's just nice to have that perspective in there, in the show. I love that there is also, I mean, I feel like politics is so heavily male dominated. So it's lovely to see what Margaret's perspective is as well on all of this that happens.
Definitely.
And I guess you're no stranger to doing new musical theatre, and you're also working again with Laura Murphy. What is your favourite part about bringing to life a new character on stage and originating roles?
The research is my favourite part. I love reading books about them. I love the National Library is awesome. It's a great resource. I've got family that live down in Canberra. Whenever I go down there, I always make sure that whatever role I'm about to play, I check them out at the National Library if they, you know, existed once before. I love nerding out over that stuff. And you pick and choose what you bring onto the stage, and sometimes it doesn't really help the telling of the particular story that's on the page, but it's always good to learn more, I suppose. And yeah. I'm really interested in people and what makes them tick and why they are the way they are. And I mean, it sounds so wanky, but it is my favourite thing about acting. It's always the research. I love rehearsals more than I love performing. Yeah, it's the getting to know somebody else in a very intimate way without having them in the room.
Yeah, it's also like the trial and error of like grabbing a piece of information and seeing where that leads you in the rehearsal room, and you can play so much. And then obviously when you get to the performance, you've solidified what that is. But it's kind of the best part of the process.
Exactly, exactly. And I didn't know who this character was or who my version of her was until I put on that wig. And I went,
oh, really?
Oh, that's who she is. And then, you know, I was definitely finding flavours of her, but it wasn't until I popped that wig on and I have this wonderful dress suit on with glorious bursts of orange. And I was like, oh, I get it. I get it now.
This is it.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't know what show you're in until you look around at the designs and the wigs and the stage. And you're like, oh, now I completely get it, which seems silly. You think you know what show you're in rehearsals, but you don't know what all the other teams are working on. And because there's no blueprint for this show, it's not like it's been done 1,000 times before. We're really making it up together, but we're working separately, and it all comes together in Tech Week, which is just really delicious to be able to share that with everybody as well, and for them to see what we're doing, what we've been up to for a few weeks in the rehearsal room as well.
Exactly, especially with such big characters as well. Like I recently played a grandmother, but a fabulous grandmother. And when I put the costume on and the wig and, you know, with the gray hair, and I was like, oh, I get it. Like, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be right now. Like, I think some things you can only do so much until you get into the space and you feel everything and you get to fully embody those characters.
I'm glad it's not just me.
No, no. I was like, I relate heavily.
By the way, how good is it playing older roles, especially grandmas? Grandmas are the best.
Honestly, so fun, because there's just like, I don't know, I just don't feel any expectation. There's just no expectation. You're a young person playing an old person, and so the more the mannerisms come into play, the more you can do with the character and take on the voice and all of the different things. You can change so much of who you are. It's kind of way more fun.
Way more fun. And having to look a certain way as well. There's so much pressure to, you know, look skinny or be sexy or, oh my gosh, it's been so nice playing a role where I don't have to worry about that at all. And I can just play the character and her objectives and, you know, oh, it's freeing. It's really been a delight.
I could not agree more. That is such a thing. I think we don't realize how much extra baggage we bring with us in a way.
Oh, yeah.
And how freeing just taking on something unlike yourself, but just diving into something completely new and different can, I don't know, tell us what we're really, you know, thinking the other times we're getting on stage.
Yeah, it's really yummy. It's really yummy. I love it.
It is, it is. So I guess we're going to move into a little bit of a game now.
Swipe left or right.
So how this works is like Tinder. So you swipe left if it's a no, and you swipe right if it's a yes, and then you can also super like, which means you're really into that thing.
Okay,
so the first one is fish and chips.
Oh, swipe right. Yes, especially with extra chicken salt. I'm all about it.
Ooh.
Yeah,
yes, the very salty chips.
Oh, stop, with a tang, you know, if they put vinegar on that salt. I'm in.
Oh, lemon.
Yeah,
I'm there on the beach too.
Oh, God, then you got to share it with the girls, but sure.
True. And talking about beaches, the next one is Bondi Beach.
Ooh, contentious. I, you know, out of national pride, I'll say swipe right, but there are better beaches.
I agree.
Yeah.
It gets a bit busy.
Oh, so busy. How is one to find a park to swim in said beach?
Exactly. Oh. Unless you live in Bondi.
Exactly.
You've got to get some friends in Bondi.
Well, yeah, maybe that's what I need to do. Just get some friends. Good.
Yeah. So I've got Lamingtons.
Oh, swipe left. Oh, no.
You aren't a Lamingtons person.
I'm not a cake person, although I will say that Andrew Cutcliffe, who plays Malcolm Fraser in our show, makes the best cake this world has ever seen. He brought in two incredible cakes to get us through tech the other day. A chocolate cake that sort of melted in your mouth. It was fudge, basically. And apple tea cake. Oh, my goodness. Massive shout out to that man's baking skills. He's also very talented as a singer and actor. Yeah, can confirm I like those cakes. Not a Lamington cake. If he made me a Lamington, maybe I'd enjoy it.
Perfect. And I guess, what do you think of Hugh Jackman?
Oh, yeah, super like. Of course. Yeah, what a great export. Gives us a good name.
I remember watching him as Curly, and it was just so fantastic. And I was like, yeah, I'm on Team Hugh Jackman.
I think it's fantastic. I would have seen him live as well. I think I'll have to look it up, but the first show I ever saw, my mum took me when I was about 7, I think, to see Beauty and the Beast. And I think he played Gaston when I watched it, and I will never forget my little feet not hitting the floor of the auditorium and just looking out in the pre-show, the red velvet curtain with a projected rose on it and just being filled with a sense of awe and magic. Like, how amazing is the theatre? Oh, my gosh.
Did you watch Frozen? Because that, when Frozen played the Welcome to All Those Having Their First Musical Experience. Oh my God. I started crying. I was like, oh my gosh, I remember my first musical and how exciting it was.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Before you start worrying about auditions or, you know, how you're going to do your hair and what is the character? Should I just wear a little bit of blue and white for Dorothy or should I go for the full out pinafore? Yeah.
Oh my God, so real. Like coming to the audition fully dressed as the character and you're like, I will book the show.
Yeah. I have every version of a leather outfit on right now for whatever this sexy next character is. Yeah. Oh God. I feel too old for that now. It's really great. Whenever I walk into auditions, I've stopped dressing too much for the character. You get me in my trackies.
you don't need to. I mean, sometimes, you know, depends on the audition, I feel like.
I know. Look, I should be better, but I'm too tired now. I've turned 30, darling.
You're now seasoned, so that they're like, ah, it's fine.
Oh, well seasoned. Lots of salt and pepper.
Yes. Oh, and I guess on salt and pepper, the last one is Bunnings Sausage Sizzles.
Oh, my God. Super like. Stop it. Is there something bigger than super like? I shouldn't have given it away to Hugh Jackman. I love a sausage sizzle.
So good.
The smell's so even good. Better than the taste.
I have to agree. You kind of get it and then you're a little bit disappointed, but then you're not really at the same time. It's the bread and the onion and the...
Oh. I'm gluten intolerant and I'll still do it every time. Question, do you have onion with your sausage sizzle?
I used to. Okay, so I'm also gluten-free and also, what do you call it? IBS, you know, IBS land. So I used to really enjoy like barbecue sauce, onion with the glutinous bread. That was fantastic. But now I don't get to experience that. And it's a little sad. Like sometimes you just get the sausage, you know, and they don't have the gluten-free bread.
Oh, Eliza, I'm telling you, this stuff has changed my life. I home brew my kombucha. This is a community service announcement. Everybody's going to laugh at me, but I'm telling you. I've got a SCOBY in my kitchen and that stuff has saved my life. I used to be in so much pain, but kombucha's really good for your gut health. It's wonderful. Get on it because I can have a little bit of bread now.
No way. You can eat bread as well. Well, I need to get on that.
Oh, yeah. Not all the time.
Just like a little bit.
Yeah. If you want Cutcliffe's cakes in the green room, you have to get some kombucha and it's got to be home brewed because they don't do it properly in the shops.
Yeah, I've had like the shop stuff and I'm like, it didn't really do much.
No, but... this stuff's good. She's good.
Oh, I'm going to have to get on that. That's amazing. Well, that was our game, swipe left or swipe right. A very easy game for a Friday morning.
I was way more amiable than I normally am when it comes to games. So, yeah, it's good.
It's good. It's good. I didn't make you go, what lyric is this? And here's a trivia question.
You can do that after the show. Then you'll know everything.
Exactly. I'll be around it. With the show itself, do you have a favorite spoiler-free moment or favorite song from the show that you can tell us a little bit about?
There's a song called Private School Boys, which I get to be a part of, and I'm stoked that I'm in it. If I talk about that, that might be too much of a spoiler, but I will say that my favorite song in the show is called Where I Came From, and it's because it's sung by an incredible talent, Octavia Baron Martin, who plays Sir John Kerr. It's just this beautiful jazzy number, and I've got a soft spot for jazz, and Laura's written a really gorgeous song. But yeah, every time Octavia goes, what, I'm like, oh, dead again. You can put that song on repeat for me.
That's beautiful. I can already imagine what the Private School Boys song would be about.
You think you can, but every song sounds so different to each other. It's a really anachronistic palette. Every song is not of the time, and they just sort of sit somewhere else, and it's awesome. It's so surprising, and the script is so witty and funny, and it was really nice to share it with an audience for the first time last night and realize that they get it, and sometimes they get it more than you do. And you're like, oh, okay, good. This is because we've been sitting with it for 6 weeks. It's nice to finally share it and go, oh, my God. And the things you didn't think were landing, or you didn't even think were a joke, are sort of getting the biggest gags, like the biggest laughs. It's awesome.
Yeah. How was the response last night to the show?
It was really good. And it was nice to look out into the audience and see different ages as well. There are a lot of champions of Gough Whitlam in the audience, because certain characters would come out, like Malcolm, and they'd be booed, or Sir John Kerr would be booed when they first came out. So a lot of the people in the audience know the historical context and the political context of this story. But then I saw a few young people in the audience, and they were beaming. They just had the best time. And, you know, I hope they learnt something walking out of the show. But I think one of the best things about this show, and it's a good indication of good writing, is when it could be set in the 70s, but it's still so relevant today. It's almost a little bit scary how relevant it is. And it just asks the question, you know, what will you do and what's your part in history? And who are we as a nation in relation to the rest of the world? Which I think is very poignant.
That is very poignant. And I guess kind of on that, what do you hope that audiences will take away from the show?
I think it's one of those rare shows at the moment that A, isn't a jukebox, which jukeboxes are awesome, but sometimes it can be difficult with those shows to make your audience sit up and question their version of reality and their own perspective. So I would really love for people to walk away and talk about the show, talk about their national identity, but almost not in an irreverent way, but in a way that isn't so stoic and stuck in their own ideas. I hope it makes them question their ideas and talk about their ideas with other people. I think discourse is so important. I think we've forgotten how to do it as a country, especially younger generations. So if it can open up a conversation, if I walk into the foyer and no one's talking about what kind of sandwich they had for lunch and they're talking about the show, that's a massive win in my book. And I don't think you could walk away from it not talking about it.
Yeah, it's very rare that we see like political stories, and as well, like, this is one of the biggest political moments in Australia's history. And for so many young people maybe coming to see the show for the first time, they actually have genuinely no clue about it whatsoever, and walking in so, I guess, fresh and open to whatever comes at them with the story, it's exciting to be able to tell that story for the first time to that type of audience as well.
Definitely. And I think it helps that Jay, Blake and Laura are all quite young, you know, they have a really fresh perspective and take on this story, which I think will be really helpful to younger people coming in.
Yeah. And you definitely spoke about how different the music was. Is it Are there different genres? Obviously, we've got jazz. Have we got, like, some pop in there, classic musical theatre? What kind of sounds can the audience expect?
Everything you just said and more. It's crazy. It's awesome. It's such a great soundtrack. Yeah, it's really wonderful. And as I said, the script. Blake and Jay are so funny. I can't believe it. And they just get comedy. They'll come up to you and they'll say, hey, just say this line. With this intention, and it'll get a laugh. I'm like, that doesn't sound funny to me at all. And then I get out there, and they were right every time, every single time. But yes, Laura's music is crazy. She's just gone for everything in this show and has thrown the 70s out the window. She's like, yeah, I'll give you a Britney Spears tune. I'll give you a big band jazz moment. I'll give you, like, Broadway on steroids. It's really, really fun. And it's so nice to sing songs written by another singer. She really knows how to write for singers and to get the best out of you. She milks your voice for everything it's worth.
I think her talent is insane. The way that she writes songs, it's so clever. It's so fresh. And it's exciting to see new Australian shows written by people like Laura, because that's the type of, I don't know, the stamp on musical theatre that Australia can bring to the world as well, which is very exciting.
That still sounds Australian, and that's really important, because I think that we don't have our version yet, and I think it's forming now with people like Laura, Jay and Blake, but we don't have our version or our voice of musical theatre yet, because it's an American art form, and we're really trying to find our stamp and our brand of it. And I will follow these guys anywhere. Like, I've already, as you said, I've done two of Laura's shows. I will do any show she ever writes, because I really do believe in her talent and her genius. And all three of them, they're just, I hope they don't stop writing. This has been a real pleasure to be a part of.
Such powerhouses, already writing so much material for Australian audiences and for the Australian canon and musical theatre. It's very inspiring to see that at such a young age as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm so excited about this show. It sounds phenomenal and something I think we need. We really need it at this point in Australia's history. And I guess the lucky last question, unfortunately for today, is, can you describe The Dismissal in 3 words?
Oh, riotous, satirical and crazy.
You had it here first. Crazy. Oh, well, I'm so excited about everything this show is doing for the audiences and for you guys and the creativity that is oozing from this piece. But I guess before we go, we do a little bit of a bedtime story, which is a stage mishap or anything that has gone wrong. Can you tell us a little bit about a stage mishap of yours?
I mean, every time you go on stage, something goes disastrously wrong. Even last night, I had a story. I was meant to exit stage right, I think it was. And instead I exited stage left, got into the wrong costume. My poor dresser's halfway dressing me. And then I realize I'm wearing the absolute wrong cosy. I'm getting into it because we all have to play several roles pretty much in this show because there's so many different parts. So I'm dressing in a male outfit and I'm meant to be wearing my Margaret hero costume. So rather than taking my clothes off and running across to the other side in my undies and bra, I take my male costume across to the other side, put on my Margaret outfit, just make it on time, come back off stage, realize that my boy costume's on the other side of the stage and I don't have time to get changed into it quickly. So I have dressers racing to the other side of the stage to bring me my shorts. Then I realize I don't have to wear my shorts just yet. I have another 10 minutes in the same Margaret costume. So everyone's running around like headless chooks. Backstage traffic is just a nightmare, but those dressers, angels. They're absolute angels, and so are the wiggies. They're awesome.
They're our heroes for sure.
It's surprising I got on stage. I was so cool as a cucumber yesterday until I made that mistake. I was like, look at all these people stressing out. Everything's fine. Don't even worry about it. I almost lost my head.
Oh my God. I had a similar experience recently, or like a year ago. I full on, okay, I missed my whole scene and I'm supposed to be in the scene. Everyone's like, where are you? And I'm in my picnic day costume, but I'm supposed to be in this sexy costume. So I like come in the wrong entrance. Like they're all like, here's the stage and I'm coming in the wrong entrance. And I just pop my head in. I say my lines and then I leave. I was like, I am not in the right costume. I am, this does not make any sense now. And I have completely ruined the scene.
That's amazing.
Oh, and I love when that stuff like that happens. You just got to laugh about it because we're all human. Our brains sometimes, they just go, okay, yeah, what's the next thing? Yeah, I'm getting into that. Yeah, I need to get into that costume.
And you're like, I know the steps. I have to approach with confidence. But you're always wrong. But the audience is always on your side, and that's what I love about that. You know, it's so different to watching Netflix. And I feel like we're in this fun game with the audience whenever we step onto that stage. They're on our side. We're on their side. We really want it to work. And the flavor and energy of every audience is so different, so it never feels the same. But, yeah, all the mistakes are my favorite. Favorite things that happen, and it, again, happens every single show, and it's incredible. It's sort of, I used to do it in hospitality, you know, great customer service. Yes, you want that rare to medium, not medium rare, no worries, I'll let the kitchen know. Then you get into the kitchen, your face just drops. It's sort of the same for stage, no matter what's happening backstage. When you're up there, we're on,
everything's fine.
I can't bring that backstage nonsense onto the stage for you all.
Now, unfortunately, that is the end of this episode. It's been so fantastic talking to you. But before we go, can you give us a little bit of a spiel on where we can get tickets, when is the show on, all of that fun stuff?
So if you head to thedismissal.com, it will all be there for you. We've got shows, so we're still in previews. On Tuesday is when we have our opening night. Yeah, very excited. We are so ready for an audience, so come on down. But the tickets are selling really well, and I believe that we're closing on the 21st of October. So get in quick. That is
brilliant. Everyone, you need to go and see this musical. It is just fantastic, and it sounds brilliant, and I'm so excited for you and the cast, and I wish you all the best of luck at opening night.
Don't miss this one, guys. I'll see you there.
Exactly. Well, everyone, stay happy, healthy, and safe, and we'll see you later. Bye.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.